With us now on the Sunrise Morning Show is Father Frank Donio from the Catholic Apostolate Center. Good morning, Father Frank.
Morning, Anna.
It is good to have you back, and we are diving into the U.S. Bishop's National Pastoral Framework for Marriage and Family Life Ministry. We're going to be looking at the first pillar today, which is devoted to prayer and relationship with Christ. Now, I'm assuming this was a deliberate choice. Why would prayer and relationship with Christ be the first pillar?
Well, it's certainly at the center of what a Catholic marriage should be, what the sacrament of marriage should be. Because if Christ is within that relationship. And so the choice of the word relationship is certainly one that is important as well. And prayer, of course, our communication with God. And so it's not only the communication that the couple has with one another, but also certainly with God. And the way that the bishops talk about this, they say to foster among this pillar, to foster among the Catholic faithful in their marriages and families, a living relationship with Jesus Christ by instilling in them an appreciation for prayer and the sacramental life. As Catholics, we live our relationship with Christ through our personal and also our communal prayer, the most significant one, the Mass, which is also a sacrament, the Eucharist, but in and through the sacramental life. This is how we live our life of faith and deepen our relationship with Christ.
And so I assume that this is a great need. I mean, this wouldn't be something that they're working on if there wasn't a need in families currently.
Well, it's a need, and we've talked about this before when we talk about evangelization. When we talk about, certainly we heard this in St. John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI, and now Pope Francis, having this encounter with Christ. A personal encounter with Christ, a relationship with Christ, that we're just not going through the motions, that this is, Jesus says in the Gospel of John that he is our friend. Stop for a moment and think about that, how mind-blowing that was 2,000 years ago when people were believing in pagan gods that were far and distant, and even the God of the Old Testament is a God who, the way it was seen by people, you know, very, very far away in the sense of very personal with the relationship with the people, but having some type of friendship with God would have been inconceivable. And yet Jesus says this is what he's calling us to. He wants to be our friend. And so the same is true within this intimate relationship, the most intimate of with in marriage and in family life. And that this is a place where this relationship with Christ can be cultivated, particularly in and through our prayer, our communication with God.
Well, obviously, this is something that can't be forced. Right.
No.
I mean, it has to be a decision on the part of the husband and the wife.
Yes.
And their family to really try to foster, to accept a friendship with Christ. I think it's probably the better way to say accept the offer.
Yes.
Of friendship.
The offer.
from Christ. So how do priests and parishes in general go about encouraging this?
Well, the encouragement is also how couples do that with other couples. That they're, this is the bishops say that the families, Catholic families, are really the principal agents of the family apostolate in the new evangelization, it says. So really it's also the families witnessing this relationship with Christ, going forth, as we've talked about before, as missionary disciples, as disciples who are sent on mission. So it means becoming and living a follower of Christ. So it's not somehow disconnected from the church's understanding of our being disciples, because followers of Christ, because that's how we deepen our friendship with him, by following him, but then also at the same time by being sent. And the sending of the family is really the witness of the family in everyday life. In everyday life within the home, because they talk about in this section about the domestic church or the family and the home. And then at the same time, also externally in interactions with other families and in other ways. I was recently with a couple different sets of friends, and I got called out because we did grace, but I did a special prayer praying for the family and so forth and so on, and there was a question from one of the daughters, the youngest daughter. Was, now wait a minute, that's not exactly how we do that. And so then we had to do bless us, O Lord, and he's like, which told me that that's part of the family's just daily pattern. Mm-hmm. And that witnessed to me their faith and what their faith means to them.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be huge things and go out on a street corner. It's living life day to day and making faith part of everyday life.
Sure. And I want to close the conversation, Father, with kind of a practical question. I think about myself even, like, it's awkward when you get asked to pray with a group, even if it's with your family. And, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. Or, you know, even I lose my train of thought when I'm praying the rosary by myself, let alone with my family. I mean, how do we teach families to pray and to be comfortable praying together?
Mm-hmm. From what I've seen in my own experience in growing up, and also in working with families, and also friends who have families and family members of my own, what I've seen is, first off, we have the beautiful Catholic prayers, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. Okay, so maybe not the full rosary. Maybe for some families, that's something that grows over time. But let's start with those. The sign of the cross, mm-hmm. you know, which is a prayer in and of itself. And then also, what are the needs? You know, who do we want to pray for? Who do we need to remember? You know, intercessory prayer. So in all of those, there's a way of building over time. And it gives us, but it also makes the connection to very Catholic things. The other thing is also feast days. You know, for example, we're in the month of May now, and that's dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Well, what do we do a little extra? You know, if we have a statue of the Blessed Mother in our house, do we put a May crown? Do we put some flowers? Do we say a couple extra prayers? And ask the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, just to kind of mark, you know, we're in the Easter season, or when Pentecost comes, do we put on a little bit of red and go to Mass? You know, things along those lines that say, well, what does that mean? What does this red mean? These are ways, I think, that with smaller children, but I think even as people grow further, to enter into both into the liturgical cycle of the year. And kids also love saints.
Yeah.
When I was at St. Jude Shrine and we had to have a gift shop there, anytime we'd have a group of kids, they were all over the rack with the prayer cards with the saints.
That's awesome.
Kids love saints. And so that's another way, I think, also in the lives of the saints and sharing that.
Yeah. And one of the things that I keep telling myself as a parent is, you know, I might feel awkward, but this is normal for the kids if you make it a routine. And so as long as I can get over myself, the kids can really, really have this ingrained in their hearts that this is something we do. We pray.
And sociological studies show that will help. If when faith becomes part of day-to-day life, that will help people later in life to remain faithful, to remain Catholic.
We've been talking to Father Frank Donio about Called to the Joy of Love, the National Pastoral Framework for Marriage and Family Life Ministry, which you can find through the U.S. Bishops Conference website. And Father Frank, if listeners want to connect with you and check out your resources, where do they find them?
Just go to CatholicApostolateCenter.org.
Which you can find linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Father, thank you.
Thank you and God bless.
You too, Father. Thanks.